You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hey everybody, this is David Siegel, your host for Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com, each and every week. And we've got a really, really special setup for you right now. And that, this weekend in Springfield, long overdue, Coach Tara Vanderveer is getting inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame. And to show you the type of influence that Coach Tara has had on people, I suggested we do a roundtable as a bit of a tribute. And the response that I got was amazing. And the people that I have on the phone with me right now are some of the best and most entertaining people that Coach Tara has had. We've got Vanessa Nygaard, Angela Taylor, Candace Wiggins, Mel Murphy, Jane Appel, Kate Pay, Jeanette Poland, and Jennifer Azey all at this time. Ladies, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Ben, as one of the original players on the first national championship team, one of the questions that I really was curious about is, you decided to go to Stanford back when Coach Tara was new to that program, and Stanford wasn't the juggernaut that it is now. What was it that interested you in Coach and coming to Stanford?
Well, you know, a lot of it, well, Tara had had great success at Ohio State prior to coming to Stanford, so she definitely had the track record. But Stanford kind of sold itself, too, as a university. So the combination of the potential of a great basketball program and a great education, and having parents that probably would have, I don't know, disowned me if I didn't go to Stanford, you know, that they saw, yeah, I think they saw the potential. They saw the future. They saw, you know, a degree from Stanford and saw a very competent coach.
Well, and then, of course, you know, right away the program started to turn around and has had an unprecedented run of NCAA tournament performances. And, of course, 1990 was the first championship, and that was yours. Then you also played for Coach in the Olympics, and again, you had tremendous success. What was the difference between Coach, Olympic Coach, Coach, Stanford Coach?
Not a whole lot. I mean, I think that's one of the beauties about Tara. I don't think she changes for people. I think she stays with, you know, just she's got such an amazing work ethic and a knowledge of the game that it was just, you know, very similar to, I think, how she was in 1990. In fact, I think she did a world of good for the players in 96. Like, you know, Cheryl Swoops, for example, had never done the kind of training, for example, that we did with the Olympic team, which was a big foundation for our success at Stanford. So I don't think really that she was that different from 90 to 96.
Now, Vanessa, I have a question for you. You were one of the players that was enrolled at Stanford during the time when she took that year off. What kind of impact did, in your opinion, that taking that year off have for the next couple of years with recruiting? And there's always been questions about that because there was a little bit of that somewhat comparatively down spell after the Olympics.
Yeah, you know, I can't really speak to, I graduated that the following year. So, you know, sort of the downturn after that obviously ended on a very negative note in my mind. But, you know, when Tara was named the Olympic coach, we were all so excited for her, and we knew she was going to do well. We knew she was going to work so hard and kill herself to win the Olympic medal, which, I mean, I remember her losing a ton of weight and just never sleeping and then having her at the same time trying to support us the whole time. So we were so excited about that, and the people who were there coaching us during that time, I mean, they gave 110% as well. So, I don't know how much I buy into that theory that time away hurt her. She came back with such a wealth of new knowledge about the international game of basketball. And I remember that year we played a lot of the offenses and plays that the Olympic team was doing. We were like a testing ground. So, I don't know. I mean, it's a theory that people have, but, you know, I don't buy it. I think Tara was probably worn out a little bit, but everybody involved with our team, and I know going forward, there's never a team coached by Tara that didn't give 110%.
Question for each of the coaches that are there now, and if you could just say who you are first so that everybody knows who you're talking to. What kind of impact did Coach Tara have, not just in, like, the type of style of game that you coach, but also how you approach your players and recruiting? And, you know, now there's some WNBA involved here, too. Even that, how it affected dealing with professionals, too. any of you can start. Just say who you are.
David, who are you interested in hearing from?
Any of the coaches that are out there.
That's you,
Jen, Kate, Angela, you're involved there. Vanessa, you've coached.
Go ahead, Ange.
I think it's you, Kate.
Oh, Ange isn't on right now. Well, obviously, Tara has a huge influence on me as a coach. I've been an assistant with her here at Stanford for 4 years. She is without question the most influential figure in my basketball career, both as a player and a coach. And, I've known her for 25 years, and I learn things every single day, both how to be a better coach, but more importantly, I think how to be a better person.
Jen, how about you as a head coach on the college level?
Well, I learned a ton from Tara. I mean, probably played for her longer than anyone. And, just her, her philosophy, her work ethic, and then also the details of the game. I think teaching the details, teaching the individual players how to play the game, I think is very much lacking, especially when I watch younger players play. So I'm thankful to have, been a product of a coach like Tara.
Angela, you've taken it all the way up through, executive levels in the WNBA. Just dealing with people and such, the impact that Coach Tara has had on you.
Well, I think that so many of the things that we learned through playing with Tara or coaching with her, as Kate has mentioned, are applicable in life. And in whether you're coaching, whether you're an executive, whether you're teaching, Tara has this thirst for knowledge. And I think that many of us continue to crave learning whatever it is that we're doing. And for me, as an executive with the WNBA in particular, I learned that you win with people. Tara surrounded herself by great people, staff like Amy Tucker, who's been with her for a long time, Renee Brown, Julie Plank, Kate Pay, Bobby Kelsey. There's been so many great people that she's been surrounded by, and she continues to learn from those people. I think I read an article recently where she was talking about the Hall of Fame, where she wanted to go up to Tex Winters and learn more about the triangle, and that her sister Heidi had to say, "Look, let Tex enjoy the Hall of Fame experience." But that's the thing that I've learned from Tara, is that you can never know enough, and you have to constantly, be dedicated to learning and getting better at your craft.
Now, up here in Connecticut, the players today versus the players of the past have talked about how Gino Auriemma has gotten soft. Now, I want to ask the players with assistant coach Kate on the phone here. All right, I want to ask them, is Coach Tara soft now? I mean, Candace, Mal, Jane, what do you think?
I think that she hasn't. I wouldn't call it soft. I would just say that she's changed over the year. Like, her progression as a coach has probably been. It's always been, like, kind of surrounded by her players. Like, each team is different. Even the team that I played on in 2008 was a different team than last year's team. And she's very much about, like, that year. And, there's been changes over the years that we've done and things that she's taken away. Some players remember the two-mile test. Some players don't. It's whatever. But at the same time, I think that, she's really adjusted to how, the personalities and the players on the team have changed. But she's never really been different, because the things that make Tara who she is have been staples throughout all these years. And it's we all can, like, we all see the same Tara, I think, at the end of the day.
And, Kate, they were telling me, Aaron was telling me that, he thought that the players today had it easy compared to the days that you guys had. What do you think?
Well, we do kind of call Tara Grandma Tara nowadays. No, she, I think as different people have touched upon, Tara continues to change and evolve and mature as a coach, as the game changes, as the times change, and she's always open to doing things in new ways and responding to different things. I think she is different, and I think we all hope we're different as we get older and we learn more and we grow. And as Angela has referred to, she continues to always strive to get better, and she's not set in her ways. There might be a few things she's quote married to. One of them is zigzag, so we all still do that the way we used to way back in the day. That hasn't changed, but The players today work extremely hard, and that is made obvious by the incredible record of going to four Final Fours in a row. So I think that the great thing is that we all are part of a very proud tradition and a proud family, and there certainly, as you can tell, is a strong bond between all of us.
And Jeanette, I heard a story from Aaron about the fact that in Arizona, I actually pulled over the bus at a Baskin-Robbins. Get you guys all ice cream.
I was going to say that. I was like, I don't know if they did that back then, but we had gone to dinner that night at Macaroni Grill, and we got on the bus, and we heard a rumor that we might be stopping for ice cream, and I think everyone just was like, what is going on? Like, is Tara okay? Like, a lot of things were crossing through our mind, but I mean, it was just so fun to just kind of, you know, I don't know, have fun and, you know, not worry about anything. We had a great dinner that night, and we definitely, though, were just like, I mean, people were tweeting, taking pictures. Like, it was like a historical event, I think, in Stanford history with Tara. But, yeah, I mean, it was just kind of something we all bonded over this past season. But, you know, just like little things like that. But like I said, I don't know if they did that back then.
Hey, David, this is Angela. I will say that a few years ago when the team was at the Final Four in Tampa, we all received an email that went out inviting us to a dessert reception the night before their semifinal game. And I think that the topic of conversation for us old-timers was we were shocked that it was a dessert reception and not a video reception or something like that before the game. But she has evolved, and you know, as Kate mentioned, you know, just has learned from the times. I mean, the players are different, the rules are different from the NCAA, and you know, I think that's the sign of a great leader is someone who has maintained her principles but is willing to modify and evolve with the time.
Now, Mel, I heard that Tara was busting a move at the 2010 banquet, too.
Yeah, she was doing not the electric slide, but what's the new thing, Jeanette, that we were doing out there?
Shuffle?
Yeah, she was doing the shuffle, and we had put a little spin on it, so we were actually remixing it on the dance floor at the Final Four, and she was out there with us, and she shocked everybody and caught on to the dance moves really, really quickly, and she was out there, she was breaking it down. So again, I don't know if that was something that she was doing in the 90s and she was coming out and teaching us something, but it was definitely really exciting to see and have her take part of.
And there's no question, at least in my mind, that it's things like that that the people, you know, we don't see that, and the players do and the recruits do get to see to an extent. And mostly, of course, the alum get to know the person so well after the time they've been there that this is what makes the person such a special person. Dane, one of the things that impressed me is all the times that I see you back at Maples, always going back, rooting on the team, and it's just, it seems like it's just natural that you always want to be there to continue to support the program.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. It's, I think, you know, like Kate said, it really is a Stanford family that continues to grow there. You know, like one of my most fond memories, I think, was before every game my senior year, Coach Tara would pull me aside before she spoke to the whole team and kind of would give you know, each senior each year a little pep talk before the game. And, you know, it was kind of a special thing that was a special bond that was formed between the two of us. That really, you know, makes it easy and comfortable to go back and, you know, call the farm home and want the team to continue the tradition of playing well and playing so well together. So, you know, definitely always feel welcome going back to that Maple Pavilion.
Jen, it must have been a very difficult and somewhat surreal situation this season when Tara played against you and won that 800th game. You know, I'm sure that you're rebuilding the program, you know, and San Francisco is going to see better days, but it must have been a little bit difficult to be on the other side, and also you wanted to be happy for her. How did the emotions run, and how did that feel for you?
Well, first of all, I tried to get the game off the schedule. I didn't schedule Stanford. I was not crazy, you know. It was a game that had been deferred since 2007. And as the game started getting closer and closer, Kate, I forget who you guys were playing. I think you played Tennessee, and then I think it was DePaul. And so we're thinking, oh, they're going to get their win there. They're going to get the 800 there. And then all of a sudden, we're the 800. I mean, you couldn't have asked for just a more weird situation. So it ended up being wonderful. I mean, you know, we knew. We're not even close. Like, we're not even in that league. But at the same time, there was something beautiful about being able to celebrate that with her. And it was a great experience, actually, for our players. I mean, Tara was so gracious. After the game, she asked me if she could come and talk to our team. So she came and talked to our team, was very encouraging, very supportive of, you know, myself and Katie Stedding, another Stanford alum who's our associate head coach here. And it was just, I mean, our, you know, even our staff passed out, I mean, this might sound weird, but passed out 800 signs, you know, that Stanford had brought, passed them out to the fans. We had about, you know, 4,000 people here that, you know, never come to games. So it was great for us, you know, to have that experience and be able to share it with Tara. So as much as, you know, it's hard to get beaten by, you know, 90 or whatever it was, it's still, you know, it still was a great night.
Yeah, and it was, you know, the way that you did things, too. I mean, we all saw it afterwards with giving her the game ball and the presentation. And, you know, it just showed class. I mean, it really epitomized to me, you know, the program that you're building there and also the program that you came from. So, I mean, it was so impressive to see. I have to congratulate you on that.
Well, thank you. And it's honestly, I mean, we're here talking about Tara, and it's very much to her credit.
Now, one question that I'm supposed to ask you guys, I'm supposed to ask the newer players mostly because they don't. Aaron didn't know. Who wants to tell me about what this left side, right side of the bus thing is?
I don't have to say go with the right side.
Yeah,
right side.
That's where it's at.
I'm on the right side too, so.
Well, Mel, why don't you explain it?
Well, I mean, it's just a little fun challenge that we have. There's the right side of the bus, so the people that sit on the right side, which are all the great people, and then there's the other side of the bus, which are the outcasts, or the left side.
Hey, I sit on the left side. This is Vanessa. That's all the best side.
Yeah, that's...
You would sit on the left side, Ma.
Ooh.
Whatever. Lefties are the best.
That sounds like segregation.
Candace,
no, this is a little
thing.
Fun thing we had.
On each side? How do you get on each side?
It's Dave. It's just where kids happen to sit on the bus, and it's a fun little game that kind of we developed. And sometimes we do competitions based off of it. And I'm not really sure how it got started, but I know I sit on the right side. You will.
Once you sit down, Dave, you're stuck for life. That's a seat for 4 or 5 years.
I stay on the right side, actually.
Jen, you'd be on the right side. Hops, you'd be on the right side. Vanessa, you're definitely a left-sider. Who else is an old
So you said the left side is where the people who can shoot sit?
No, Amy Tucker's on the right side, so she's a shooter.
Probably Molly would probably be a left-sider.
Molly, whew. Yeah, probably.
Oh, well, it certainly seems like it's one way to pass the time, that's for sure, on these trips. Now, we've been talking about this, and, you know, and I appreciate the time, and I know that you all have places to go. But, you know, anybody that follows any of you on Twitter has been reading and rolling about these Tara-isms all week. And it just wouldn't be right if we didn't go around at least – one or two times and have each of you give your favorite Tara-isms so that everybody can enjoy them. Why don't we start with the new players, so to speak. Why don't we start with the ones that just graduated? Mel, Jeanette, why don't you guys get us started?
I would say mine would be that you're making million-dollar moves but taking nickel shots.
Nice.
We've all heard that one.
Yep.
I think mine would be even a blind squirrel can find a nut.
That's a good one.
Jane, what do you got?
I think being a post player, the one that we heard a lot was don't be a squirrel on the wrong side of the tree when the nut falls.
Yeah, this...
I like the one, you have a Ferrari, Ronnie, don't drive it like a Volkswagen.
I like that one. Vanessa.
Yeah.
This was just, I think, a way that she would maybe call me stupid. She would say, a repetition of error shows a lack of intelligence.
Yeah.
Still my favorite. I say it to my players now, and they don't get it. I'm like, I'm calling you stupid.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yay.
I think my favorite is, you want to have fun? Try winning. That's fun.
Very true.
Can I add the one, this is not a democracy?
That's a good one, too. One of my favorite was, why use a water pistol when you have a cannon? We had Anita Kaplan was 6'5 post player, and she's like, why are you trying to throw it into a 6-foot post player when you have Anita on the block?
Deb?
Gosh, I'm drawing a blank. I think it's been too long, but I think for me, just her voice. I mean, I think just there's something about her voice that I think we've all probably, are able to do it. And if anyone would like to, that's great. But
I'll do it.
Come on,
Vanessa.
And just kind of the way she talks to you, I guess, is probably my most endearing thought about her.
Yeah,
I want to hear the impression.
I actually really need to go, so I'm going to have to probably let someone else do that.
I like the one, when she always talked about the red, like the green light and the red light to shoot, she'd be like, it doesn't matter if you're confident in your shot, it matters if I'm confident in your shot. She'd say that like in a star voice.
My freshman year,
we had that earthquake, the 7.1 earthquake in October, and we weren't able to use Maple, so we had to practice outside on the hardtop. And so there was no basket, no rim. We just had balls. And, we were all complaining because it was 80 degrees outside. And so I was like, a billion Chinese don't care. Everybody else is practicing today, so we'll practice as well. And
that was always the same reasoning for finals as well. No one else cared that we had finals, so we had to practice just as hard as everyone else.
Well, if anybody has to go, by all means, I certainly don't mean to keep you. I want to thank you. If anybody would like to stay and continue, I'd love to hear some more.
Dave, this is Kate Pay. I'm going to have to sign off, but thank you very much. And it was great being on, a lot of fun.
And this is
Kate,
Jennifer. I have to go as well. Thank you, guys. It was great hearing everybody at the same time. This was really nice. Thanks a lot.
Take care, everybody.
Right. Bye-bye.
Take care, Jen and Kate. David, I have to get back to work, too. Sorry.
No problem.
But thank you for having me, and bye, other kids.
I know.
And this is Jane. I actually have to go down to watch film for our game tomorrow, so I'm going to have to sign off as well.
Okay. Bye, Jane.
Jane, you're even here in Connecticut.
I am, so I wish we had a little bit more free time, but.
Understood. Thank you.
All right, thank you for having me.
Well, I think that, the older people all had to go for the senior citizen discounts. At the
I'm still here. I'm still as Vanessa. I'm
hey, now,
here.
Wait a minute. And what do you say, older people? It's all relative, Dave.
Well, we still have Vanessa, Angela, Candace, and Jeanette for a few more minutes. So who's got a couple more tireisms for me?
This is Vanessa. Her favorite thing that she would say to us, and I still think about it, is mentals to physical is 4:1. And basketball is a game for thinking people, and that you have to be smart to play basketball. Thus, Stanford students are good at basketball. And so that always helped me also when I went on to play professionally, because as anyone knows who's gone to play professionally, they automatically think you're super smart and can do, like, any math problem if you went to Stanford. So I'm always like, okay, well, I have a 4-1 advantage here.
Yeah,
that's a good one. How about, did you guys hear, get your big toe off the line? I know, Vanessa, you shot 30-footers, so you didn't really have to worry about that. But, she would stop a scrimmage, even if you had a long jumper, if you had your big toe on the line.
Yeah, she's like, worst shot in basketball, worst shot in basketball.
Yeah, oh yeah, she, yeah. I remember a quote that she put on my locker one season, like I think it was either my freshman or sophomore year, and this is kind of a charism, the hungry lion hunts best.
Oh yeah.
So that's a, that was like, that always like, you know, that kind of about drive and wanting to, you know, be hungry about something.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of really resonated with me in my, you know, career there with her.
Nice. And one thing that for me that wasn't necessarily a Tarism, but I think that it still impacts me today is in 1990 when we did go on to win the championship, you know, she had it placed on the, printed on the door, painted on the door, you know, 1990 champions, get comfortable with it. And throughout a lot of her conversations through video or whatever, she's just like, get comfortable with it. And it became something that, you know, we just knew that we were going to get there to the promised land. And, you know, I think that that's a message that, you know, I live throughout, you know, my career right now, is just get comfortable with where you want to be. And you won't be surprised when you get there.
Changing the subject up for a second, Candace and Jeanette, there's one question that I wanted to ask you guys. It gives a, to give a little bit of an insight into the Tara, the person, a little bit. Your senior seasons, both of you, ended obviously disappointing for where you wanted to be. You had tremendous seasons, tremendous careers. But how did Coach Tara approach you after those last game, that last game, and make it clear to you guys that, hey, you know, you had a hell of a run, and you know, you had nothing to be disappointed about?
Well, I would say, for me, it was like the last my senior year, we were kind of in a different position because we were like, this is like the last, you know, our last chance for me at Final Four and my whatever. So the last six games was, it was a lot of riding on that. And it was crazy because when I met with Tara right before the tournament started, and I had this, you know, great run in the tournament, but a lot of people don't realize that. Before that tournament, Tara pulled me aside and was telling me, because I was feeling a lot of pressure, and she told me the same thing. She said, I'm going to tell you the same thing I told Jennifer, you know, in 90. She's like, pressure creates diamonds. She told me a story about how diamonds are made, and just that, you know, she said, but more than anything that stuck with me, it still will stick with me for the rest of my life. She was like, we're going to have fun. I'm just going to enjoy coaching these last six games, and I want you to enjoy playing for me, and that's all we have to think about, you know, for this next, these next games. And then instantly, this was before the tournament started, that, like, created, like, this bond that was just unbreakable because it didn't even become about winning and stuff. It just became about, like, you know, us enjoying, me enjoying playing for Tara and playing with my teammates and her enjoying coaching me. It was, like, it was incredible.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, this is Jeanette. I think I kind of goes along with what Candace was saying. I mean, it just became fun, and, you know, no one wanted the season to end. You know, every team that I was on throughout my career at Stanford, it was just, we all shared just a special bond and not wanting to lose. So we could keep the season alive. We wanted to go as far as we could because we didn't want to stop playing together. And I think, you know, that started all the way at the beginning of each season. Tara kind of just instilled in us that, you know, it's going to take everyone. It's going to take team chemistry. And, I mean, I think more than anything, she just kind of instilled that chemistry in us. And we all just wanted to play together. And then, you know, the last game of my career, I mean, it didn't end very well, obviously, but, you know, she came up to me and just kind of, you know, I think more than anything, like, we didn't share too many words. She just said, you know, it's amazing, you know, how much you accomplished and how much you improved every year, and just kind of commended me personally on that, and just how, you know, thankful she was to coach myself and the rest of the class. And so I think, you know, it wasn't necessarily a lot of things she said. We just kind of shared that moment after the game. And so it was kind of something that was special.
Vanessa, I want to change the subject a little bit. One of the things about Stanford, of course, is the academics.
Mm-hmm.
And to be a student athlete anywhere, is unbelievably difficult, obviously, to be able to juggle that schedule. Never mind a place like Stanford, where you have to face, you know, the unbelievably strong academics in addition to playing on a top-of-the-line program. How does Coach Tara put it together so that you guys can get everything done and not feel an extra burden and extra pressure due to the academic load that has to be kept at Stanford?
Well, I won't pretend like I was an amazing student. I mean, I'm glad I went to Stanford, and I love Stanford, and it was very, very challenging for me academically, but I went there to play for Tara and win a national championship. When I was there, of course, it is very, very challenging academically. I remember once, I think Tara said it, I said something about, some reporter asked me, what's my range? And I said, I don't know. Can, you know, people say you can shoot from the dorm. I was like, oh, I can shoot from the library. And Tara said, you don't know where the library is. And so she was correct. But I think, you know, there's a tremendous amount of support for all students at Stanford. Just to get in, I think the students, once you get in, they're saying, okay, that you can maintain that. I think what people don't understand, and having been a college coach, they're not playing the same game that all the other schools are playing. They are only have, you know, 5% of the really good players that are out there that can even get into Stanford. So, you know, where, you know, Connecticut and Tennessee and Duke, not, well, Duke says they have higher standards, but they all say that they can only get, you know, every player in, and they can get all these players in. Stanford only has a limited pool that they can even pick from. What comes with that pool, though, is people who are very driven. So if you do, you're the same person academically as you are on the court. You have a very good work ethic. So if you're able to get into Stanford, you're going to have a great work ethic. The school's going to support you. Honestly, I didn't have many conversations with Tara about my grades. It was an expectation. There's a competitiveness in the school itself. The kids who get in can succeed there, and the school supports it, and Tara's expected. I would do well in my classes because I wouldn't want Tara to know I did poorly in my classes. There's a high expectation for any Stanford athlete, but holding the banner of the women's basketball program, we worked hard on that. You know, of course, there were finals sometimes during the NCAA tournament. We worked around it. I don't know if things have changed, but, like, when I was there, I always just got my finals deferred till well after the NCAA tournament, but I guess some people have to take them on the road, but I don't know. I was an American Studies major, so it wasn't that challenging. I think Tara definitely supports the academic saying. She's a very, very, very intelligent woman herself, so she appreciates how many times she would ask you sort of about things you were studying and be interested in that, or tell us something that has nothing to do with basketball that's interesting. That was always out there, that there's another world beyond it. But, I mean, I think the student-athletes are motivated.
I mean, you could see, obviously, you know, when I've talked to all of these people, you know, I've talked to Candace and Jeanette before today, and Angela, of course. You know, I have moments where I'm sitting there saying, I can't believe how old these people are. No offense, Angela. You're separate.
I appreciate that. Right, right.
I'm referring to the kids, though, in this case. And I'm just amazed at how impressive the people that have gone through Tara's program are. And that includes all of you. And, you know, you're all to be congratulated for your share of making this program a success as well.
Thank you.
Well, we appreciate that. You know, and, you know, David, as Vanessa said, I mean, I think that, you know, Tara is a perfect fit for Stanford. She's brilliant. She's a genius, you know, off the court. You know, I think that people don't really realize that she's not just a basketball coach. She, you know, is in tune with what's going on in the world and is fascinated by things beyond the basketball court or beyond sports. And she also is, you know, one of the best coaches in the world. And that combination is really what is representative at Stanford. You look at it, Andrew Luck, and the reason why he stayed another year at Stanford is because of the experience and the type of individuals, whether they're athletes or not, that you are surrounded by at Stanford. They're people that are, you know, very highly driven, ambitious, have, you know, a broad range of goals and interests. And I think that, you know, once you're in that environment,
you thrive. And I think for many of the reasons that many of us across generations, no matter how old we are or how young we are, that have played for TAR, there's a connection between us because we all, you know, obviously have such high standards for ourselves, both on the court and off the court and everything that we do. And I think that that's one of the reasons that TAR has been successful is because she does focus on those people that will be successful at Stanford, will be successful in life.
You know, this past season, when you had all of these great things going on, trying to take on UConn streak, keeping the Maple streak going, TAR going for 800, now you saw all of these people coming back and watching you play. All of these people came back. Now, is it just a foregone conclusion that you and Kayla and all are all going to be back next year and the year after that, year after that? I mean, do you feel that's part of going to Stanford is being a part of that alumni network that you're going to be there rooting on the teams, you know, with when NECA and all are playing this year?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've already said when I come back from overseas, I'm going to try and get to a game, you know, whoever they're playing, because we always have some of the best games during Christmas time. So, yeah, I've already said that I want to try and come and see a game. But, yeah, because I know when we had our alumni at some of the games and just showing their support, how much it meant to us and our team when we were playing. And so, I mean, I think it's only fair to return that favor, to have that support and just really show what the Stanford family is all about. You know, when we would have all our alumni come in for the Final Four and they'd be telling stories and things, it just, I mean, it's very inspiring and to hear their stories and for them to give us advice and just show their support. So, yeah, definitely, I think, without question, I mean, I will be showing my support. Not to mention I'm only a year out, and I still know some of the people on the team. So that helps. But for sure, going to be showing a lot of support.
You know, and, you know, what is up with the success on the basketball court for, like, you and Candace and everything? You know, you go straight from that to, you know, now the two of you are going to probably – good possibility you're going to be facing each other in the WNBA Finals.
Oh, yeah, we actually might. That's crazy.
Yeah, you never know. It's
well,
crazy.
That's the thing, though. It's like the Stanford tradition follows into the WNBA totally. You know what I mean? And, like, that's really, like, we're kind of reflections of Tara when we get sprinkled out into the real world, you know. So it's pretty cool to see that because, you know, we've had a lot of players in the league, and it's not – we're all, like, teammates, you know, even if we play against each other and stuff.
There is no question that, you know, Stanford, Connecticut, you know, Tennessee, you see the winners succeeding in the WNBA in addition to in NCAA. You know, the programs themselves just keep putting out more and more, you know, special pro players in addition to special college players. It's really, really fun to watch, that's for sure. And I especially really like you playing in the WNBA now and not against UConn. So, especially Jeanette. This, although Jeanette's now burying my Connecticut son. You know, what's up with this? I can't get you out of Connecticut.
We got us one time. We got another game there. So, I mean, it's a tough – I mean, you know, all the teams in the WNBA right now have – the ability to really make a difference and, you know, give people a run for their money. I mean, I think that's what's great about the WNBA this year. There's so many teams that can come in and beat anyone on any night.
That is definitely the truth. Well, ladies, I want to let you go. Before you go, each of you, since you stayed longer, I want to give you a last opportunity to say whatever you would like to say, either about or to Coach Tara. Hopefully she'll listen to this. You know, Aaron will obviously have this. You know, what would you say on this incredible weekend for her about or to Coach Tara? Angela, why don't you go first?
Well, first, I know I speak on behalf of those that, you know, weren't able to be on this call when, you know, I say congratulations to Tara, you know, what she's accomplished over her years at Stanford, at Idaho, at Ohio State, with the Olympic team or the national teams is incredible. She's touched so many lives and inspired us not just to be great basketball players, but great people and great citizens and be excellent in whatever it is that we do. And, you know, I credit Tara quite a bit with my success in life. You know, outside of my parents and my two older brothers, Tara has impacted me in many ways. She's taught me how to work hard, how to dream, and how to go after your goals. And so I'm eternally grateful for what she's done for me, and grateful for bringing the Stanford family together, because Tara is that common thread. So I'm glad that she was recognized with this honor. It's you know, fantastic for her to be entering into the Hall of Fame, and I think it's quite poignant for her to be entering with Teresa Edwards. You know, those two being part of that 1996 Olympics really changed the landscape for women's basketball here in the United States, and it made it possible for the WNBA to be in existence and for, you know, Candace and Jeanette to be able to continue to play the game that they love here in front of friends and family. So congratulate Tara, and I'm glad that she's getting her just due. She's definitely one of the best coaches in the country, and I think sometimes people don't realize what the huge impact that she's had in women's basketball and just basketball in general.
Vanessa?
Okay, I'll talk to Tara. Tara, I love you. Thank you so much for everything that you've done for me and my teammates and all the people that are still at Stanford. You've taught me the most important thing in my life, that I can do anything if I have a great attitude and a great effort. And if I show up for whatever I have to do with a great attitude and great effort, you told me that I think every single day that I was at Stanford, I know that I can do it. And you mean so much to so many people. And you've changed the game of basketball, and you've done it in such a classy way. You're so understated. I aspire to be like that as a coach, and I can't wait to see your 1,000th win, because I'm sure there's no stopping Tara Vanderveer.
I would agree with that, that's for sure. Jeanette, Candace will save you for last.
Okay. I will say something to Tara as well. Just wanted to say congratulations first. I mean, what a great accomplishment, long overdue. And then on a personal note, I just want to thank you for everything you've done for me throughout my career. You put so much faith and trust in me and really helped me to improve and become the player that I am today. And I don't think that would have happened without the confidence that you instilled in me and just the tradition that has been made at Stanford before I got there. So just wanted to say congrats.
And Candace?
Yes, I will end by saying thank you to Tara. Thank you, Tara, for everything that you've done. And when I say everything, I'm not talking about just for Stanford University. I'm talking about for women's basketball, period. You know, when what she did and how she transformed, you know, women's basketball in such a humble and hardworking and not, the way that you transformed women's basketball is astounding. And I just thank you for me being this little girl and on our living room floor watching Stanford go to the Final Fours and watching the 96 Olympics and watching you. You know, thank you for being a woman that I could watch growing up and see, you know, what kind of the standard that I could have and the option of being able to play basketball at the highest level and also go to one of the greatest institutions in the world. And, you know, making that kind of path, a path that every girl would want to strive for. And, you know, it's not just me or these players on the Stanford team, but also just women's basketball in general, and how I've talked to Lisa and I've talked to Tina Thompson and I've talked to the players that have played for you, and it's like they all say the same thing. It's you just raised the bar and gave us the idea that there's more dimensions to a woman than a female basketball player than just basketball. There's way more dimensions to it, and for that, just say thank you and congratulations. And I, without a shadow of a doubt, hands down, believe you to be the best coach in basketball. So thank you. Congrats.
That was phenomenal, ladies. And I would just like to say on behalf of myself and the show that, you know, that the ladies on this show epitomize what coaching is supposed to be all about. They exude class and respect and game all at the same time. And that's something that is something that only the elite coaches can do. And Coach Tara certainly deserved this honor to go into the Naismith Hall of Fame, not just the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame, but to be in every Hall of Fame related to basketball far before this time. And I'm thrilled that it's finally come to her and that she's gotten the due that she deserves. People have to realize the sacrifices and the things that people have done to grow women's basketball. I mean, look at the impact. Just taking, can you see somebody today taking a year off from their program and going to coach an Olympic team? That is amazing, especially when the team was at its peak at the time. To just take that and make that kind of sacrifice and look where USA Basketball is at this point, because the program needed to be rebuilt at that time. And she knew that, and she was willing to do that. And now she's taken Stanford back to the elite level that it was in the early 90s. As we enter 2012 season, they will still be a formidable force going forward for everybody. And this UConn fan dreads playing Stanford every year, loving every minute of it. So, Coach, congratulations. And, ladies, thank you so much for taking the time. I know how busy you all are. And it really means a great deal to me that you were able to take this time this evening and discuss someone who has meant so much to you.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks for giving us this opportunity.
Have a good night, and hopefully all of you will stay healthy, have great remainder of the WNBA seasons, great success going forward with all of your coaching and business endeavors. Thank you again for the time, and have a good evening.
Go Cardinal.
Thanks, Dave. Go Cardinal.